Allow me to give you a perspective on how neuroscientists, in many ways, are really just like detectives. Picture this. It's 2006, and you're a full-time researcher interested in the human brain. Now, the questions neuroscientists often ask are, what sort of changes happen in the brain in order to produce our waking experiences? And which brain regions may be involved during the different types of behaviors that we, as humans, engage in all the time? To answer these broad but really important questions about how the human brain is wired for specific behaviors, a neuroscientist must begin by searching for clues, often within types of behaviors that reflect different facets of these internal and unseen processes. And human sexual behavior provides an excellent route through which to chip away at these questions, as sexual behavior leads to massive changes in hormone levels and brain activation patterns. During sex, a lot is happening behind the scenes, particularly in the brain, but there are also facets of sex which neuroscientists can directly measure without any complicated imaging techniques. For example, when females experience an orgasm, the heart starts to race, blood pressure spikes, and breathing gets faster. Internally, levels of hormones related to happiness and pleasure increase, and related muscles to sexual behavior begin to contract. These physiological changes are very useful to scientists because they provide a window through which they can start to piece together the systems that are really important for sexual behavior, and also how sex may have short and long-term effects on the body. While these physiological aspects reveal some important clues to our detective, the neuroscientist, as to what is happening in the body during sex and during orgasms in particular, this doesn't quite tell the whole story. In fact, the reason why our neuroscientist detective is looking at sexual behavior in the first place is that orgasms are largely the function of the central nervous system, namely the brain and the spinal cord, rather than just a mere physical response by the body. And we know this because, for example, epileptic seizures or brain trauma can strongly influence a woman's ability to have an orgasm or dramatically alter their experience of orgasms. Reorienting ourselves back to 2006, Janico Georgiadis, in collaboration with other researchers at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands, publishes only the second paper assessing brain activation during orgasms in women, and the first in healthy women. In particular, these researchers were exploring how changes in the activation of different brain regions are associated with clitorally induced orgasms in women. These scientists used a powerful imaging technique called positron emission tomography, abbreviated as PET, or PET imaging. PET scans can determine which regions of the brain are experiencing an increase or decrease of cerebral blood flow, indicating which brain regions are being more or less prioritized within the brain while a particular behavior is being performed. Here's how the study was set up. The experimenters recruited 12 healthy heterosexual women with an average age of 34, together with their male partners. During the PET scans, genital stimulation was provided by the male partner, focused on the clitoris, as clitoral stimulation most easily leads to orgasm. An adhesive band was used to restrain the female participant's head during stimulation to prevent motion that would otherwise compromise the image quality and accuracy. Subjects' eyes had to be closed during the scans, and they were only allowed to communicate with their partner verbally between the scans, in which sexual behavior was not being recorded. It's pretty clear that this paradigm doesn't really create the most naturalistic or comfortable circumstances for sex. But even 13 years later, there are no obvious workarounds to certain facets of this type of experiment. Participants were scanned during four different conditions. The first was a resting condition, which provided a baseline for activation levels in the brain. The second was an imitation condition, in which the woman imitated the motor aspects of orgasm. And the third was a stimulation condition, in which the woman received stimulation from their partner while being asked to resist engaging in these motor aspects of stimulation. And these three conditions essentially all acted as controls for the fourth condition, which was the orgasm condition. And in this condition, the woman tried to reach an orgasm within a minute of the injection of a radio tracer that preceded each PET scan. If they unambiguously reached an orgasm within the proper time span, the experimenters used the scan to compare against the other scans in order to determine which regions experienced significant changes in cerebral blood flow during an orgasm. And from these comparisons, the experimenters were able to tease apart which regions were activating the physiological responses we observed during an orgasm, and which regions were responsible for the feelings of pleasure and arousal. So, what did they find? The paper itself provides detailed information on which neural regions change during an orgasm, and the two most recruited parts of the brain each revealed a sort of specialization of function associated with the experience of orgasms. The first region was the frontal lobe, aptly named for its front and central position on the exterior side of the brain, called the cortex. The frontal lobe is important for speech, the expression of emotion, and problem solving. From the scans, they determined that the frontal lobe has an inhibitory control over sexual behavior. And so when a woman experiences an orgasm, there is less cerebral blood flow through these regions, which corresponds to the release of inhibitions that is necessary to enable sexual behavior in the first place. The second region was the temporal lobe, which is also part of the cortex, off to the side and towards the front. This region is responsible for things such as memory, along with visual and auditory processing. From the scans, they determined that while the temporal lobe also reflected inhibitory control over sex behavior, just like the frontal lobe, the temporal lobe most directly reflected the experience of sexual arousal and pleasure itself. Notably, almost every area of the brain that experienced an increase in cerebral blood flow as opposed to a decrease were mainly regions known to be involved in the motor aspects of sexual behavior, such as muscle contraction, respiration, and so on. In summary, when healthy women experience orgasms, the experimenters found that the regions which inhibit sexual behavior are suppressed during an orgasm, in correlation with increased feelings of pleasure, release, and security. While, on the other hand, we see a spike in activation in the regions associated with the physical responses to stimulation. So each of these findings are not only key evidence for the neural basis of orgasms in women, but together they are helping to construct a clearer picture for our neuroscience detectives and point to places where, if we look closer, we might find more clues and nuanced details that could even deepen our understanding of these behind-the-scenes brain processes.